As Mark said, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and present today. I feel like it was old home week with Bill Mayfield here. Since Bill was around when Eli Whitney invented the gin, he was obviously a well-informed source. And since Don Van Dorn has passed on to the great gin yard in the sky, he's not here to dispute whatever Bill said. But it's always good, and I think, you know, in this business, what is old is new again. You know, we sometimes, there's a lot of tribal knowledge that goes on in this industry, and a lot of things happen. But after a certain number of years, you'll find that we forget some of the basic principles. You know, we came up with the idea of the steady flow years ago, and Hardwick Etter, to their credit, had the best name for that machine, the steady flow. And then all of a sudden, we decided we didn't need a steady flow. And then all of a sudden, we decided, yeah, we do need a steady flow. So, you know, we're finding seed sizes changing. There's no doubt. What are the issues that we've got? Well, for one thing, over the last 30 years that I've been in the industry, we've seen a great improvement both in yield of the cultivars and in the quality. You know, West Texas used to be sentenced to low-quality denim. Now they grow much longer, stronger fiber. And cotton grown across the United States is much better quality. It used to be California was way heads above quality-wise as compared to other regions of the country. Now the cultivars that are grown across belt-wide are, in general, all of good, excellent quality. And so we want to preserve that with all the processes that we do. Of course, with yield, that goes hand in hand with the second point here where I'm talking about the seed weight per bale, which we've discussed today. You know, it used to be 800 pounds, and it drops into the 625 to 700 pounds. And we've even talked to some growers in Australia that are anticipating 455 pounds per bale this year. Has the seed gotten smaller? Yes, the seed has gotten smaller, unequivocally. And the reason I say that is when you take clay soil versus sandy soil, which holds more water? The clay soil does. Why is that? Because all those very, very small pieces of soil have more combined surface area. It seems counterintuitive, but it's not. A bucket of golf balls versus a bucket of baseballs, the bucket of golf balls is going to physically have more surface area, so there's more room for fiber. Add to that your longer, stronger fiber that so many of these new cultivars have, and it's not hard to see why we get more yield out of that. That leaves us, though, as ginners, with what do we do with this shrinking seed? I loved Wes Morgan's graphic with the cottonseed getting smaller. That's exactly what is happening. And another thing that over the past few years we've seen are the bare, and we get what we call the brittle seed. Richard Kelly talked about it extruding through the ginning point. I think some of that happens. The ginning point, the spacing between the ribs as far as the ginning point is the same. There are more. The ribs are narrower, but that ginning point is basically the same. When you had a bigger seed, it didn't pull through as easy. To use Eli Whitney's the legend that probably is not true, but when Eli Whitney was looking out the window and saw the cat grabbing the chicken through the picket fence at Nathaniel Green's house and tried to pull it through and got the thing of feathers that gave him the idea for the gin, allegedly. That chicken, if you had a little chick versus a big chicken, that little chick's going to pull through that picket fence. Well, the big fat brood hen is not going to pull through. But that's what we're dealing with the saw gin, and with saw ginning for the foreseeable future being the way in which we're going to process upland cotton. We as manufacturers and you as ginners have got to find a situation. That also goes hand in hand. We've got to talk with the seed companies, Bayer and, you know, soon Bayer Monsanto if the Federal Trade Commission doesn't get involved. All these different seed companies are going to be, you've got to have some seed to germinate, so I'm hoping we'll reach some point where we don't go to critical mass, but nonetheless, it's something we have to deal with. Well, you say, where is that seed? Well, this is a deck plate on a module feeder. If I can get the little thing up. You see that little white dot there? And you see a little white dot there? Those are basically seed meats. That cotton has not even come to the gin, into the gin yet. It has not even gone through the disperser head. And we've already got seed meat sitting on the deck. So don't tell me it's not happening in the picker. It is. So it's coming into the gin. The question you ask, where is that seed coat with all that fiber attached to it? It's somewhere in that module. And you're either going to have to clean it out or you're going to have to remove it in the link cleaning. Because if you don't, you're going to have seed coat nips. Here's the trash under the rock catcher. Look at all these seed meats. All through there. We're not talking just three or four. We're talking massive quantities. That seed that's getting away, that seed revenue that is not even getting to the gin stand to go in the seed conveyor, much less pass through the gin stand and try to be collected in the superjet. And that's been happening for years and is going to continue to happen. And that's where we've got to work hand in hand with the seed companies to see if they can get a more resilient seed that still has the yield. And this is out of the seed house of gin seed. We recognize the gin seed with Lenners on it and right in the same mix. So the seed, is the seed getting smaller? Yes, the seed is getting smaller. Well, we've talked about the Vortex tube dryer. We talked about stick machine development. I'm going to spend a little time talking about the 194 and 234 saw gins. Here you see the cross section of the 194 and 234. You've got the roll box area. We opened up and raised the area and cosmetically made the gin look more of the of a look of the Lummis product line. It became a fully incorporated evolution into the Lummis product design to where it matches the look of the 700 feeder, which is a recognized look because Lord knows everybody else has copied it over the years. And as far as the saw, we still use a 12-inch diameter saw, which have shown to do less fiber damage. We use a 7.5 horsepower agitator on the initial design. We use a 200 horsepower main drive, but we designed this. The 234 is designed with two agitators, one on each end because of the extra energy requirements. And we had that accommodation designed into the 194 in the event that we needed it. We wanted to try it with a single 7.5 horsepower motor on the agitator, but we had the accommodations if we needed to add it. But the most unique thing we had was putting in the new style rib. Here you'll see the old traditional 184 and 184 and 222 consolidated rib, and then you'll see the long inserts along what like what Richard Kelly was talking about. This is our answer to the seed loss in the 184 and the 222. But looking at the opposite end, you'll see here's the ginning point of these three of these two different models of rib right at the screw level. The ginning point of this machined rib for the 194 and 234 is raised up above so that insert can be reversed and have a new ginning point. As the insert wears, you can turn it over and replace it. It's screwed in on the back as well as with an adhesive and is wear resistant. Now, a couple of patented features is the spacer on the top, similar to what Lummis uses in the insert type rib in the 170, but it is a trapezoidal look, but it maintains a very consistent rib spacing. We got away from these ribs plain and simply. We had a rib problem. We acknowledged it. It was very difficult for the Eli Whitney to have come up with interchangeable parts. And he invented or helped to invent the cotton gin. For us to have so much trouble with interchangeable ginning ribs in a cotton gin just seems to be a travesty. Well, we decided with the 194 and 234 we were going to address that. So we use a CNC machined rib that is extremely consistent. The first ones we used were powder coated. That was purely for aesthetics, just to make them look pretty. That was a bad idea. And that, as soon as that powder coating wore off, we were happy as clams because then it was slicked up and would go. So the new ribs we do will not be powder coated. It's in there. It's designed to gin ribs, not to to be a gin rib, not to look pretty. So that brings us to David Blakemore. And in a fit of insanity, he decided to put two of these in. We appreciate his cooperation. We appreciate his candid nature, shall I say. And he has some very good words that describe that candid nature. But extremely good feedback and great cooperation. And we have a number of customers in this industry that have worked with us. And we couldn't do product development without customers that are willing to take that chance and do it. But he has a two-stand outfit with two stages of 10-foot pre-cleaning, 24D link cleaning with centrifugal continental link cleaners, and a high-capacity lift box press, and he added those two gens in 2016, and here they are. The one in the foreground is its number one stand, the one in the background, the number two stand. Well, as we went through, we first saw that we were getting significantly less seed pounds per bale, and that was a concern to David. He had normally seen well in excess of 700 pounds per bale, and he was getting in the 625 pound range, and so we knew we had some issues that we had to address. Part of that was the rib and the rib design, we believe, but part of it also was getting the air on the back of the gen stands adjusted. And I think more often than not, there are a lot of gens out there that need to relook at the air flows now that we're dealing with these smaller seeds, because bigger seeds might have been more forgiving. I believe having exactly the right airflow on the gen hoods is going to be critical to keep from also sucking these smaller seeds out through the bottom of the rib. It won't necessarily all go through the top of the rib. You can also suck them through the bottom of the rib, especially these. See, if you have any of those seed meats that have no fiber on them, they're going to be very conducive to want to get conveyed through. So recapping the drives of the different machinery, of course, a main drive, 200 horsepower. We started off with a single agitator drive, and we wanted to address the seed loss in the gen stands, the agitator energy requirements. Could we get by with one 7.5 horsepower, or would we need to add a second like we have on the 234? And just general to maintain capacity and at a consistent rate. Well, after ginning a certain amount of time, we realized that it was going to be best if we put the second agitator motor on, and so mid-season we did that change, made that change. We also were looking, from the fact of the seed loss, we were looking at putting in an extra, what we call the step rib, and we put a set of those in to the number one gen stand, and of course we then, as I said before, we adjusted the air on the gen hoods to make sure that we weren't over-pulling on the gens. To give you an idea of the step rib, this is showing a side view, and this does not have the insert in it. The insert would mount here, and then you have this high point, which basically replicates that long insert like we showed on Richard Kelly's ribs. And this shows it from the front. Your insert would bolt in here, and you'll have this area, which is the same height as that long insert, and then you have the rounded edge. So we've incorporated that into the machine part of the rib. We've gotten away from castings because this allows us the freedom to, we've got a very good strategic supplier that does precision machine work, and they're able to do this, and so we had that set made. We did not powder coat them. You know, fool us once, shame on you, fool us twice, shame on me. So we learned that. But we sampled cotton from a single field. We ran each of the ginning lines separately. We weighed the seed, shot it into a van, and then weighed the seed and calculated the pounds of seed per bale, ginning each in each gin stand at 15 bales an hour. We took seed samples for residual lint analysis. And what we saw is we were able to improve the pounds of seed per bale from 676 to 707 in the step ribs. Which is about nearly 4.6% increase. So David was much more happy getting that pounds of seed over 700 pounds, although it continues to shrink, and that is a consideration you're all going to face. Less pounds of seed, less revenue. But the residual lint, we are still waiting on the results. They did not get in time, but I'm hoping over the next couple of weeks to get them in, so before the paper actually gets turned in, we'll have that to report. But once again, I'd like to acknowledge David and his crew at the gen for all their help, their cooperative spirit, and to my co-authors and colleagues, and to all of you for your attention. So with that, thank you.